Faye, it's a great pleasure to have you on with us again. Thanks for doing this.
Well, I'm always honored to be with you guys. Thank you very much.
First off, with Mr. Selig leaving, I'm sure you have thoughts of when sort of the torch was passed. Either humorously or not humorously, did you think Bud would stay as long as he did? It's been quite the tenure for him to go almost three decades deep as commissioner.
Well, I think it's a great compliment to him. I think in 94, when baseball teetered, they had that major strike and fight between the union and the players. We lost the World Series. That was the low point, and I think Bud recovered terrifically from there. He got lucky. The business of baseball developed enormously. The television market, the internet came along. So he's had a good run, and I think the owners were wise to keep him there. The great insight that he came to after 94 was that baseball peace with the union was important to giving the owners a chance to make some real money. And here, baseball is booming, and I think Bud deserves a lot of credit for that.
And you certainly couldn't have seen eye to eye with him on everything. If anything, many have suggested Bud was one of the, I guess, leaders in terms of making your tenure shorter. Did that, I don't know, I mean, that's what happens. People get in a boardroom, they don't always agree. Did some of that get resolved over time, or did you say, well, we both have principles, at just times we had different principles?
Well, we've never gotten together. I haven't heard from him in 20 years, and, it's been very difficult. I feel like I've been in exile on the island of Elba or something. Rob Manfred, I think, will be different. He came to baseball while I was there. I knew him as a young labor lawyer, and so I think things will change. No, Bud and I have really had our differences, and they've never been reconciled.
Yeah.
Faye, where do you stand on the Pete Rose thing here? A lot of people think that it's time for him to be reinstated, although he has now admitted that he did, in fact, bet on baseball. Where do you stand? And maybe the difference, or do you see a similarity between his exile and Barry Bonds, Mark McGwire, those guys not getting into the Hall of Fame?
No, I think the Pete Rose situation has very little to do with Pete Rose. It has to do with the deterrent. The one thing you and I know is that the deterrent against gambling and baseball is virtually perfect. Nobody bets on baseball, nobody at any level, because they understand that it's the third rail. If you touch it, you're out of baseball for life, and nobody's ever come back. And I think the reason Bud and I and everyone else feels so strongly about that deterrent is that it works. And we've had some confusion on the whole subject of performance-enhancing drugs. There, the deterrent doesn't work. And I think instead of talking about reinstating Pete Rose, which I don't believe will ever happen, I think the baseball commissioners are too sensitive for that. It's not a question of feeling sorry for Pete or saying he deserves a second chance. In many things in life, you don't deserve a second chance. And I think the deterrent is really important. It keeps people from being tempted to bet on baseball, and it works. And I don't think any commissioner, not any sensible one, is going to change that deterrent. So the whole talk about what's fair for Pete Rose is ridiculous. There's no question of fairness. There's a question of what's best for baseball. And I don't think there's any doubt any rational person would say you can't fool around with gambling. It's too big a risk. And what baseball is doing works, and it works almost perfectly.
Faye Vincent's kind enough to join us on Brady and Walker, Greg Brady, Ben Ennis. I agree. I'm not a let him back in guy. And even I don't know how much, if you saw any of the chat with Jeremy Shepp, but there's still that I'm the victim here. It's, his quote, I looked at it like it was a year suspension when I signed it, and I have no idea why my lawyers would accept a lifetime suspension. I mean, you sat there, watched your friend Bart Giamatti in that news conference 25 years ago, before he passed away, and there was no doubt the way the headlines worked then that this was a lifetime ban, not being 1 year. This is for the rest of his existence.
Yeah, and the confusion is that I wrote that agreement and I negotiated with his lawyers, and I played the critical role for Bart because Bart was not a lawyer. Mm-hmm. The fact is that agreement is conditioned by baseball rules, and under baseball rules, anybody who's out of baseball, as he was, put on the ineligible list, has the ability to apply for reinstatement after 1 year. We couldn't change that. And the agreement, in effect, gives him the right to reapply. The fact is, nobody ever said he would be reinstated. We made it very clear to his lawyers that there was no understanding. He'd have to, my word was, reconfigure his life. Bart always liked that word, and we used it. So there was no confusion. Pete may not have read the agreement, but, you know, it's interesting. He went to jail for tax fraud. He doesn't talk about asking the U.S. government for another chance. I mean, yeah. He's a convicted felon. He can't vote. And it's an important thing to remember that there's no right to a second chance in life. If you make a mistake, you pay for it.
And he is dearly right now. Some of the issues in the game right now, Faye, interest me as far as your opinion on them. Time of game is one that a lot of people are talking about, the fact that maybe younger people aren't into baseball as much because the games just take too long. It's a rarity for a game to be done in under 3 hours. Is there something that can be done about that? Is there something that should be done about that?
Well, I think they're right. You know, yesterday I watched the Yankees play here. They played in 2 hours and 7 minutes. There were no bases on balls by the two pitchers. They threw strikes. They didn't fool around. They didn't walk around the mound. They didn't take time. It was really a delight. 2 hours and 7 minutes. And nobody had to do anything very different. So, and the batters walked around the box and screwed around the way they do, which I think is silly. But the fact of the matter is, it's a function of how the game is played. And, you know, we've had examples, as we did yesterday, if pitchers throw strikes, the game can be done and over with very quickly. The problem is, how do you get pitchers to throw strikes? Obviously, there have to be some things to try to quarantine the wasted time. And I think if every batter can get out of the batter's box, take 20 seconds or 30 seconds strolling around, you're going to have a longer game. I would say it would be very simple. The batter has to stay in the batter's box. He can take 1 foot and put it out, and that's it. And the pitchers have to throw a pitch every 12 or 15 seconds under the rules. And I'd enforce some of that. But it has to be done by consent. It can't be done by the umpires. It has to be that everybody in baseball understands that marketing the game is important to every player, and the players have to cooperate.
Faye Vincent, our guest. That brings up an interesting thing as well. Yesterday was a lot of great pitching performances. We saw an amazing game at Tropicana between Price and Cobb. You saw Brandon McCarthy pitch. There's some iconic pitching seasons the last several years, but a lot of people look and say, I want to see the ball in play more. The strikeout is king. Lots of double-digit games. I'll give you a stat. When you were in your heyday, 1993, there was one Major League Baseball team that had an average under 250. Right now, we have 13. We have teams hitting 233 as a combined group. Is there anything? People have talked about the mound. I don't know beyond the mound what we can do to help hitters against pitchers.
Well, you're right on. I mean, one of the problems I notice is that the hitting level in the big leagues is really down substantially. Part of that is I think guys are swinging for the fences. Part of it is I think we've overexpanded. Part of it is the quality of the player. They come up very quickly. Guys are playing in the big leagues who are hitting 210 and 220, and they're starting for substantial teams. Look at the Yankees right here in my hometown. There's not a player on the Yankees hitting over 300.
And the Mets are hitting 234 as a team, so there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, they're tragic hitting. And this is Ellsbury and some very good players. Teixeira's hitting 235. Ellsbury's hitting 270. I mean, these are major players. They just aren't hitting.
Can you give us 30 seconds on tobacco? Kurt Schilling talked about it. He's got tongue cancer. Tony Gwynn passed away. Just these are iconic players. There's talk about banning it. It's banned at the minor league level. We've evolved a lot in 20, 22 years to make things safer for people knowing more about our health. What would you do? Would you do something?
Well, I banned it in the minor leagues when I was commissioner. I tried to do it in the major leagues. The union wouldn't let me. Look, the union controls baseball, and you've got to get the union to recognize it's a problem. They are very sensitive to the rights of the players. They see these things as civil liberties issues, and they're not willing to go along with these kinds of prohibitions. So the union has to be brought on board, and until they come on board, nothing's going to be done. Yes, it should be prohibited. It's dangerous stuff, and who needs it? But it's very hard to get done without the union's approval.